In position 2, we have all the ingredients to prove the Stricast estimate, and the proof is relatively simple, elementary, much more simple than the one originally presented in the Stricast paper. So I would like to do it, to show you the proof, to do it with you. And so everybody remembers where we are. We are proving, I think it was theorem 3 in our notes. And I'm not going to write all the theorem, but what I want to prove is that the solution of the linear Schrodinger equation, if I take it in the LQ, so if you want to put dot here, this is the estimate that we are proving now. So I take the solution of the Schrodinger equation, the linear Schrodinger equation, and I take its LR norm with respect to x, and I integrate the LQ norm with respect to t. I want to prove that this is bounded by a constant multiplied by the L2 norm of the initial condition. So I remind you, we are solving the Schrodinger equation with initial condition phi. We solve that in the whole domain, okay? And S of t is a unitary group that is defined. S of t of phi is the solution, and we have this explicit formula. Excuse me? Yesterday I used capital T. You know, in my notes here I have U. So I knew I did not use U yesterday, but let me go back to T, thank you. So if I write U, you know that, tell me that I made a mistake. So T is the unitary group, unitary in L2, because the L2 norm is conserved, and it is defined like that. All right. So everybody understands this notation here? Sorry again. Phi. Right? But the solution of the Schrodinger equation, this is the solution at time T. Right? I take the LR norm with respect to x, I integrate respect to time with LQ norm, I get a number. That number is smaller than, right? So this is what we want to prove. And P, Q and R are related. QR are admissible. QR admissible. And in our terminology, it means that Q over Q equals N over 2 minus N over 2. Right? Okay, so let's do the proof. So we're going to do the proof. We will suppose that phi is a very smooth function, so infinitely differentiable, decreasing as fast as you want at infinity. So phi, I will suppose that it is in the Schwarz space. And then by density, you can prove that for all phi in L2. So I don't worry about any regularity on phi. It is as smooth as you want. And I'm going to do the calculation. So to prove an estimate on the solution in this norm, it is equivalent to by duality to consider the scalar product of this by a test function, take the scalar product in L2 and prove an estimate for all for all test functions. So let me write more precisely. By duality, to prove this means to prove that if I take the scalar product in R in L2, L2 of R n plus 1, I want to prove that if I could calculate this, it is smaller or equal to a constant, phi L2, multiplied by theta. So theta in what space? Well, in the dual space of what is written here, which means L Q prime R L R prime R n, and Q prime Q and Q prime are related, are conjugate, which means that 1 over Q plus 1 over Q prime equals 1. This is a, this means that LQ prime is a dual space of LQ, and 1 over R plus 1 over R prime equals 1 also. So R and R prime are also conjugate. Okay? So I want to prove this estimate for all theta. If I succeed to do this, I will have the theorem 3. Okay. So this is a purpose. This is what we want to do. Okay? So here we are. So I'm going to calculate the left hand side. So the left hand side is the integral. So this is the L2 scalar product in x and t. Right? So I can rewrite it as scalar product in x, in t. So I do the scalar product in x, and then in t. T. And I'm going to take the absolute value. Right? Now, you remember that we proved something like that yesterday. We said that if I have a scalar product in L2, I can move the semigroup, the group T, the transformation T, to the left by changing time. Okay, so this is what I'm going to do here. So I move the T here. I move the T inside. What did I do here? So let me write, if you agree with me. I wrote L2. Here I do the L2 norm. Like this, and so I have to combine then that with the integral in respect to t. So L2. All right, and this is T of S also, theta of S. Okay, so now what is this? This is smaller than phi L2. Phi does not depend on T, right? Phi does not depend on T. Phi is the initial condition. Multiplied by integral from minus infinity to plus infinity of u. Because phi does not depend on t, I can take it out of the integral. That's why. Okay. And set of s, ds, and I apply Cauchy-Schwarz. So this has to be taken into LR2 R. What is with me?
The dimension
is to be the n. Yes, thank you. All right. So this is one thing. And what we need to estimate now is this big thing here. Have to estimate the integral A, this integral, okay? So what is it? I'm going to rewrite it, integral to minus infinity. I want to estimate that in L2 norm. L2 norm. So I say it is equal to the scalar product of integral from minus infinity plus infinity u t of minus t theta of t dt, comma integral, so the L2 norm, the square is the scalar product of something with itself, so I have to put another letter. This is just very simple. And now we play again with the trick we said. I can move the t of minus t in the scalar product to the right-hand side. And when I have t of t1, t of t2, phi, what does that mean? It means that I take phi, I solve the Schrödinger equation up to time t2, and then I solve the Schrödinger equation up to time t1. So this is exactly the same thing as t of t1 plus t2, phi. Okay, so I will use this property. So I suppose I should just move that up. So this is equal to, I continue here, equal to integral from minus infinity to plus infinity. So as we said, I move this operator t to the right, and then I will have t of capital T of t capital T of minus s, which gives me, so first I copy this, give me integral capital T because it is Because it's an isometry, yes, and because T and S are independent variables. And so from here, I'm going to apply Holder. Okay, so how do you see Holder? I'm going to apply Holder in R, N cross R. This is a function of T. I will see this as a function of T. And this is the integral in T, this is integral in X. All right? So I'm going to bound that by theta. We're going to discuss this in what space. In this. All right? In what space? In spaces that are conjugate. So if I put here L, what do I want to put on theta? Well, I want to put L Q prime R prime. So I'm going to put L Q prime And if I put this space for theta, for the term, next term, I have to put the conjugate, the dual space. The dual space, LQ, Q dual, the dual of Q prime, the conjugate of Q prime. So we agree, you agree with me? This until up to this here? I take this in, this function as one block. The integral in X is here, and the integral is in T is there. So this is the space L, whatever it is in T, of LR in space. Right? So you see, I have already so look what we have here. I want to estimate the L2 norm, so I calculated it. I was able to take out the phi L2, which is this one, and then I'm working on this big expression that I took the square of it. Right. So when I took the square of it, I have already one the theta that I want. Right. So what remains is to estimate this part now and to bound it by a theta of the same type. You are with me? Okay. So we have... So estimate of B. So I don't know if it is useful, but if I do call B this. And that was A. All right. So I have to estimate B. So what is B? I have to take the LR norm in space, and once I have it, I take the LQ norm in T. So I'm just first going to compute the LR norm in space. So this is a function. And I'm interested in calculating its LR norm And if I'm able to calculate this, the next step will be to take the LQ norm in the time variable. Andre, you are with me? Because you... This one? You can play whatever you want. You can put the integral wherever you want. You write the scalar product, right? And as you said, you can put a p outside. Which one?
No, this is right. This depends on p. This doesn't depend on p. So if you put integral outside L2 squared, L2 product, it will be more clear in terms of notation.
Yeah, I think you are right. I should put the integral outside. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I should write it like this. This is what you mean? Yeah, thank you. You're right. Okay. But then you agree with the rest of the calculation. So now we are here. What do you think of this? Well, I can... What do I do here? I'm going to put the LR norm inside the integral. I can always do that. So I'm going to put the LR norm inside the integral, and I integrate then on ds. This is a function of t. I put the norm inside the integral, and now can you remember something we did yesterday? That could give us an estimate on that. So you remember yesterday we proved this decay estimate. So I put a parenthesis here, yesterday. We proved the decay estimate T of P of phi. And here, do you remember that? That was the LP-LQ estimate, LP-LP prime estimate. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this with theta replaced by phi and t replaced by t minus s. I'm going to write. This was yesterday, but now I'm going to reply to what I need. So I'm going to write T. Small or equal. So what is T? Well, T is T minus S. All these estimates are true for T positive, T negative. theta of s. T and s are fixed. I do the work in the space variable. All right. So now I'm able to take the integral from minus infinity to plus infinity of this term. So if you want, I don't know if it is helpful, but maybe just to keep track of what we are doing, this integral, I'm computing it here, right? And I will replace it. Yes? So n over 2. Now, you remember what is n over 2 minus n over r? It's 2 over q. So here I can put 2 over q. So you remember what we had here? We had the LQ norm in T of this expression. Right? This is what I need. This B, if you remember what is B, well, the purpose is to estimate B, right? B, and B in my notation is, so B is the LQ norm in T of that, of this expression, LQ. So this is what I want to do. Okay, so now we need a little lemma. Going to use a little lemma that is called the Hardy. It is in the literature. It's called the Hardy Littlewood. So good. Lemma, and I'm going to state it here like this. It concerns. So this is a parenthesis. It concerns integrals. Exactly on this, of this form, of which I want to estimate a certain norm in T. This is a function of T. We integrate over S, so this is a function of T. And this lemma gives estimates on LQ norms of integrals like that, which are function of T. So it concerns integral of the form exactly what we have here. T minus S at a certain power. Well, in the theorem, it's alpha minus 1. Multiplied by a function of S. And it concerns this for alpha between 0 and 1. Alpha between 0 and 1 means that this is negative. Right? Alpha minus 1 is between 0 and minus 1. So this lemma, we will use it in a minute, but I'm going to state it, says that if I have an integral like that, so call that, if you want, f of t. If I want to estimate the L, so I have to be careful here, the LQ. So I write a big Q to make the difference between the small Q. If I want to write, to estimate the L big Q of this F, F is a function of T, well, it is small or equal to a constant, a certain LP, it's a big P because it has nothing to do with what comes after or before, and the big Q and the big P are related by the formula 1 over Q equals 1 over big P minus alpha. So this is a theorem that I'm not going to prove. It concerns integrals in one dimension, and there is an explicit proof in the book of Stein. I think this is the one with Fourier analysis. The book of Stein and the chapter, I don't remember. Oh, so I have the page here. So Stein, he has several books, but I think there is one in 1970. And that one contained in that page the proof of this lemma. It is sometimes called, these integrals are called Ries potentials. Okay. And you see, this is exactly what we need. We need to estimate the LQ norm of an integral like this. So I'm going to apply that. Alright, so how do I apply it? I'm going to say integral from minus infinity to plus infinity of u of t I'm just going a little bit backwards. I'm going back to B. To see the purpose was to estimate B. So I rewrite B. In our notation, this is B, right? This is a blue B. This is B. B. Small or equal. So this is I have to take the LQ norm, the LQ norm with respect to sine of this thing. That is it. Okay, so we apply this little lemma with G here being the LR prime norm in X of theta, with alpha minus 1 equals minus 2 over Q, and with this little Q being the big Q. Okay, so let us write the result. Sorry? Oh. What is the problem? So first to you. DS, thank you. That's okay? Well, maybe there is one integral.
Yeah, there is one.
Well, no. So, LQ norm of this. You are right, it is one too many integrals. Yes, this LQ takes care of that integral. Thank you. Okay. So we are here. So we come. So how we do we choose this formula? Alpha minus 1 equals little q. Equals minus 2q. Okay, alpha minus 1 equals minus 2q. Big Q equals big little q. Big Q is this little q. Now big P, what is big P? Well, 1 over P, big P, is 1 over Q, so little q, plus alpha. Alpha, 1 minus 2 over Q. So this is exactly equal to 1 minus 1 over Q. All right? Now, in our notations, prime means conjugate, in the sense of LP, LP prime space. So 1 over P, 1 over Q, plus 1 over Q prime equals 1. This is a relation between the R and R prime, Q and Q prime. So this is exactly 1 over Q prime. All right? So, applying this lemma here, you get that this is small or equal to, this goes on here, the LP, so LQ prime norm of G. So what is G? G is, this is this function here. It's a norm in X as a function of S. Theta. It's heavy notation. And by definition, this is exactly theta in the L Q prime . Okay, so here we are. We have estimated B by this. There should be a constant C, thank you. This is a constant associated to this lemma here. And here we are, that's finished. It is finished. It is finished because, where are we? Let's go back to the last line of the first blackboard, the purpose. We estimated the L2 norm. It is up there. We have a phi L2 norm. The A, where is A? A is estimated there. Oops, this is too high. Can you pull it down for me? Thank you. This is the A. A had the theta, it is 1 power of theta B multiplied by B, and this here. So the conclusion is indeed that conclusion is exactly the purpose of the calculation. So I hope it was not too slow and too boring, but I think sometimes it's nice to see the proof. in details. And you remember the A. A gives one theta, another theta, because I took the square, so here it's only theta. So this is the end of the proof. So if you are with me, we continue with the Stricart estimate. We may need a little bit more time next Monday to finish this chapter. So you remember yesterday, yes?
This estimate is the strongest estimate available for the of course, I have to say, in a sense.
I think there are more refined ones. I know there is a paper by Merlin Vega in 99 or something like that, where they had a more refined one. I can't write it, but I can show you, at least give you the reference. Yes. These now are considered as basic, but in 77 the proof of Stricart is very complicated. In 85 and in this period, several people have adapted it to the purpose of this nonlinear PDEs. When people tried to get existence theorem in much bigger space, in much weaker norms, they had to develop things that are more complicated, more refined than that. So I can mention the reference. Okay. So, you know, why are we doing all this? We are doing this because we want to use these estimates to work on the nonlinear Schrödinger equation. So I'm going to do, so the theorem 4 is Stricart estimate for the linear Schrödinger equation with a non-homogeneous term. So essentially, I would like to express estimate on the solution in terms of the initial condition and in terms of the right hand side. And why do I want to do this? Motivation. So probably for many of you the motivation is maybe transparent, but just for motivation. If, for example, if you consider the very simple equation, ODE, and you want to find the solution, you want to write the solution, well, what is it? Well, by variation of constants, you know that you can write the solution in the form of the solution of the homogeneous problem plus integral from 0 to t, the kernel associated to the homogeneous problem at t minus s, f of s ds. This is just a variation of constant for ODEs. Now, the same way as for the general PDE, you can define the operator, define the operator T of velocity to be the multiplication by E minus AB. Okay? So in this sense, I can rewrite the solution in the form. This is the solution of the homogeneous problem. It is y multiplied y of 0 multiplied by the multiplied by exponential minus at, or in other words, you can see it as the operator t acting on y of 0 plus integral from 0 to t multiplication . All right. Now, if this is in the, it is very well-known formula, it is also often referred to the Duhamel principle. Now, the Duhamel principle is not only true for simple ODE, it is true also where you have a system of ODEs, and it is also true for PDEs. In that case, P of T is more complicated than just a multiplication by an exponential. It is like here, it is a convolution by a certain kernel. But formally, the same idea if you want to solve you have in the back of your mind the nonlinear Schrödinger equation, you can see it. You want to use these properties of the linear Schrödinger equation, these dispersive properties associated to the Stricard estimate. So you can see it as an inhomogeneous equation. An inhomogeneous equation. And when you write the solution of this equation, and I'm going to call the nonlinear F, term F, just to see the analogy, you can write C of XT equals solution of the linear problem. To put the initial condition. So solution of the linear problem, no f, plus integral from 0 to t, s, t minus s, not the same s, this is a small s, f of s, ds. It's exactly the same formula, but now s of t applied to c is a convolution operator. And here you have this convolution operator acting on the function f that depends on x, and then you integrate over 0 to t. So it's exactly t. Thank you. Sorry. So you understand that in the context of the nonlinear Schrödinger equation, one of the things that you will have to estimate is this term. Is this term where f, well, f will be the nonlinear term, but then you do bootstrap arguments. But one important point is to be able to estimate this integral in terms of f. And this is the object of this fourth theorem. To express, to write estimate of terms of this type. Okay, so that was the motivation. Now let me write down the theorem. And so you see here, I will have to estimate integral from 0 to t, t being arbitrary. So So I'm going to introduce an interval 0 to 0, for example. And I'm going to consider the integral from 0 to t0, from 0 to t. So I'm going to consider for t in this interval, I'm going to consider the integral from 0 to t, well, exactly what I have here. T of t minus s, f of s, ds. And I'm going to call this a certain operator that acts on f at time t. So what name I give? I give a big phi. Okay. So the purpose of this theorem 4 is to write estimates for such integrals. And I will call that integral, this is a function of t, as an operator big T applied to f. And what else? So the estimate is the following. Let gamma and rho, an admissible pair, admissible pair in the sense that we gave before. Let's keep it here. It means that gamma and rho are related by this relation, and if the dimension is smaller than, if the dimension is one or two, there are no conditions. If it is larger, then there is a condition. So, yes. Yes, you remember, I gave it. We have the condition that if what else here? With the condition was it? It is in dimension n larger than 2, we must have R and if n equals 2 or equal n equal 1 or 2, we have no conditions on R. Okay? That was the definition of admissible pair. So here I take an admissible pair, and I suppose that this f, so f is a function of x and t, belongs to L gamma prime of this interval I L rho prime. So what is, so gamma rho, we understand it's an admissible pair, and gamma prime rho prime, gamma prime is a conjugate of gamma, right? So it's always the same thing, 1 over gamma plus 1 over gamma prime equals 1, 1 over rho, okay? And then we have the estimate P of F LQ. We have for every admissible pair QR, we have a more general result. we have that CF and Q I do you want me to write in another blackboard or is it still okay? Okay. Are you, do you still see something or should I write it again? Okay. So what do we see, we say here? We say that if I consider this convolution, if you want, you can express it in terms of this function f in this space. And here, I don't need to put the admissible pair gamma rho, I can put any other admissible pair. So I can play with a lot of estimates. Okay? So let me give you the various steps of this proof, even if we don't do all of it. It is done in several steps. The first step one is to prove something of this type. CF in this norm is bounded by a certain constant in the space here that is that has the exponent conjugate of Q and R. This is the first step. And then once we prove this, the purpose is to replace the Q prime R prime by any admissible pair gamma prime rho prime. This will be the second step. This will be the second, third, fourth step to be able to move from here to there. So, I don't know how exactly. Okay. So the proof for this, for the step one, is very similar to that of theorem 3. Because you indeed work with the same type of spaces, very similar. So I will not do it. Maybe for those who like to do the assignment, we could consider that as an exercise. And so this is a proof very similar to the yeah, but it's no difficult. It's exactly the same thing. It's exactly the same. And the step two. Well, so to move from step one to the conclusion, there are three other steps. And for this, we need to introduce two more operators. they are of the same span, similar to big phi. Some variants of this operator. So one of them is big T of F applied to S. I'm going to call this integral from S to T0. So it's a similar operator, except that I play a little bit with the bound here. And another one that is useful is theta. And I will call it theta of t, because it depends on t, applied to f of s. And it's integral from 0 to t, so it depends on t. T of S minus S prime, F of S prime, ds prime. So it depends on S and T. And when you prove step one, you can prove step one for the operator phi, and at the same time you can prove it for the operator big phi, and for the big for the operator big theta. All right? So we don't do it. Next, we're going to see the next step. Consists in proving an estimate like that. I take phi of s, of t, right? Phi of f of t, and I consider its L2 norm in Rn. And I can prove that the square of the L2 norm is bounded by a constant. S. I'm just wondering whether I think it's L2 Rn plus 1. So I take F. So maybe we'll discuss that in a minute, but I just want to show you the various steps, so at least if we don't finish, you have the material. No, I'm sorry, it's N here. Well, if we do the proof, we'll clarify that, but I think it's L, L, R, N. So this is a function of t. I take the L2 norm in the space variables. Step 3, integral from 0 to t0. L1 theta L2 happen. This is step three. And step four consists in combining step one or two, or one and three. So combine step, depending on the cases, one, three, one, two, or combine one, three, to extend one, to extend the step one, to extend this, to any admissible pair. So, you see, we have this formula for, we have this formula for RQ and R prime Q prime, Q prime, and we want to prove it for any admissible pair on the right hand side. Right? We don't require, we want to prove it without the restriction that Q and Q prime are conjugate, R and R prime are conjugate. So there are two cases. One case is to consider R smaller than rho, and the other case will be R larger than rho. Okay, so, and in both cases, one has to work with interpolation theorem. Because you see, essentially here we have a L1 norm, and here we have L cube. Here we have L1 norm, and here we have L cube prime. So you play by interpolation theorem between, you know, 1 and Q prime, etc. So what should I do now? We have 10 minutes. This is the various steps to the, for the proof. Let me start with the proof of step 2, for example. Even if we don't do every step, so in my book we have reproduced these proofs in case you want to see all the details that we are talking now about now. And it is also done in a lot of details in the book by Kasnav that I mentioned in the beginning. So this step is true for any t, if I write, in the interval 0 t. So I'm just going to check 1 minute this question of Rn, because I'm just worried now not to go in the wrong direction. LRN. Okay. Okay. So let's start the proof of step 2. So I want to calculate phi of F of T in L2 norm. square? Well, it is a scalar product in R of n of phi of f, phi f written twice. So, integral from 0 to t. You remember the definition of phi? Oops, it's gone from the blackboard. But you remember, you have it in your notes, right? Integral from 0 to t, t minus f. So this is capital phi of f. This is true. So I can let me rewrite this as a double integral. And put the scalar product inside the integral. So t minus s f of s, comma, t minus s prime f of s prime, L2, so L2 in space, right? Ds ds prime. And now we're going to play the game we did already a number of times when we have the scalar product of an expression like this. We can move the operator t to the right by changing the sign of the argument in t, in small t. So if I put this t here, there, it will become capital T of s minus t. Right? So here, capital T of s minus t multiplied by, well, composed by capital T of t minus s prime. So it means that you take a function, you apply the Schrodinger equation for time t minus s prime, you apply it again for s minus t, you recover your solution as if you had started from the beginning to the time s minus t plus t minus s prime. So this I can rewrite it as f of s scalar product L2 n ds ds prime. Okay. Well, if you remember the definitions of this new operator, this is exactly the big theta. So this is exactly the big theta integral from 0 to t. I take only one integral. So tell me if you agree with me. So I put this integral here, inside there. The big theta applied with this Lindel index t of f of what? S. Ds. You agree with me? All right. And now what do I do here? Well, I applied Holder inequalities. I have an L2 scalar product, right, in x and t. So I can Holder inequality. This is small or equal to. Oops. So I put f L Q prime 0 T 0 L R prime, okay, multiplied by the which norm? Well, the conjugate, the dual, I mean. LQ here, 0, T, 0, LR. And now, to remember step one, if you apply step one for the operator theta of theta T, you get that this factor here is smaller or equal to F, again a constant. So I'm going to put everything together, a constant, this F, so we have LQ prime 0 T LR prime by step one applied with theta T. This term here gives exactly the same F, so it's a square. So this is step two. And I think I will leave the rest of the proof for you. If you like to, for those of you who want to continue it, you can do it. Ask me or look at the references. And next week we'll spend a little bit of the first hour to the last section of this chapter, which are concerned with smoothing properties. Okay. So another kind of estimate. We did the decay estimate, we did the Stickart estimate, and now we have another family of estimates that show smoothing, gain of derivatives. So we'll show that when you apply the Schrödinger equation, the linear Schrödinger equation, to an initial condition, if you start with an initial condition L2, for any time, you get a solution which is in the space, Sobolev space, H1/2. You gain half a derivative. But it is not a global, it's only true locally. So it's only true on compact domain of Rn. But it's a gain of 1/2 derivative. For any time, so next week we'll state the theorem correctly, but for any time if you start with CL2 of Rn, your solution, or in almost every time, your solution T of T phi, for almost every T, belongs to H1/2. And this is true for any bounded domain B. So B is the bounded domain of Rn. In any bounded domain, you have a gain of 1/2 derivative. Almost all time. And this is true not only for Schrödinger, for KdV, and for all family of dispersive equations. For KdV, you have a gain of 1 derivative. Schrödinger is only 1. So this was the work of Kato in the early 80s. Okay? So we'll discuss that next week, and then we'll move to the nonlinear Schrödinger.